sleep. To be.
Hello.
Hey everyone, girls and gays. Welcome to Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Keller.
And we're back for episode 5. And today Woo! It's all about celebrating the power of women and not interrupting them, Logan. Just kidding. All about, you know, celebrating the power of women, whether they're running a hotel in Greece or they're undercover nuns, whichever one.
Wow, that might have given a little bit away.
Just a tad.
Before we name the shows, I'll just give a quick recap of what we do on this show. So on Rate, Debate, Recreate, Sammy Purcell and I, wonderful friends from college who did musical theater together, each week we bring two shows to the table. We rate each of them and give a quick synopsis. Then we debate them and talk about the things that we enjoy about them. And then at the end, because of our extensive knowledge in musical theater, we do know that we have the ability to make it even better. Better than Sondheim, better than, yes. You know, better than all those. So
like,
we'll recreate.
Aside, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So we'll recreate a portion of it and make it even better.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. I've got my IPA. I'm ready. How are you feeling,
Sam?
Great.
I'm feeling good.
Well, should we reveal what the shows this week are?
Yes. And first, let's reveal. So we have a category each week.
Yes.
And this week, that category is, drumroll please, strong female ensembles. My show is Mamma Mia.
And my show is Sister Act, the musical, not the movie.
Well, mine is Mamma Mia, the movie, because that's all I've seen.
Okay, but the movie, like, is
the
musical.
It's basically the same, yeah.
The Sister Act movie and musical are two different pieces of art, I would say.
Okay, I really like Sister Act, the movie. I've never seen a musical, so I'm excited to talk about it with you.
And
I watch stuff on YouTube and stuff. But anyway, let's start off with a little summary. So I'll go first. I'll start with Mamma Mia. And again, I'll be going off the movie, but it's really basically the same thing. But it's glorious. It's a glorious, glorious movie. So we start by meeting Sophie, who's Amanda Seyfried, who's 20 years old and lives with her mom, Meryl Streep, Donna, in Greece. And they run a hotel. So Sophie is getting married to Sky, and she really, really wants her father to walk her down the aisle, but she does not know who her father is. So Meryl never told her. But sneaky Sophie reads her mom's diary and finds out that there's not one, not two, but three possible men who might be her dad. And they are Pierce Brosnan, Bill. Yes, Bill, Stellan Skarsgård, and Colin Firth, who is Harry. So she sends them all a letter without telling her mom, inviting them to the wedding because she wants to figure out which one of them is her dad, and romps and chaos and song and dance and ABBA ensue. And it's just a really, really fun time. So I'm going to go ahead, and I really love Mamma Mia, so this is probably biased, but listening back, I haven't been super tough on any of these shows. So I'm going to rate Mamma Mia 8.5 out of 10 super troopers.
Super troopers. Okay, two things. One, I feel like neither of us are tough on shows, and we just like musicals, y'all. Like, get That's over it. Two, is Stellan Skarsgård related to the guy that played It?
Yes, they're all related. All the Skarsgårds you know are all related. It's like,
I think I don't know any. I only know one.
Stellan Skarsgård's the dad, and he was in, like, Good Will Hunting and a bunch of other stuff. And Alexander Skarsgård, I think. Holy shit.
He was It, yeah.
No, that's Bill. Bill Skarsgård is It.
Alexander Wow, okay,
Skarsgård
I do know more than one.
He is Nicole Kidman's abusive ex-husband in Big Little Lies.
Oh my god, I thought you meant in real life. I was like, oh,
no! No! Yes.
I was like, I don't know if we should just like casually throw that one out there, Sammy.
No. She's married to Keith Urban, and they seem very
I know.
Happy,
I saw them at Fido in Nashville. Nicole, if you're listening. Yeah, I did.
Wow. She's like 7 feet taller than him, isn't she? Shout out to my tall bitches. Love
TBB.
Love y'all. All right, do you want to go?
Yes, I'll go. Okay, well, thank you for that intro to Mamma Mia, Sammy. I'll be talking about Sister Act, the musical, today. Also, while I was preparing for this just made me recognize a trend, which is that I am just such a sucker for movies turned into musicals. And oftentimes I find that I enjoy the musicals a lot more. And this is no exception. I love Sister Act the movie, but I think the musical, I think it takes it up a notch and takes it to another level. So that's what I'll be talking about. But if you're not familiar with the movie or musical, they essentially follow the same plot with differences in songs and other things here and there. I'll be talking about the musical, like I said. So basically, we follow Dolores Van Cartier, who actually is Doris Carter, but that's her stage name. And she is a singer. She is kind of like, they want you to associate her with things like drugs and sex and alcohol and vices, quote unquote. And basically, she witnesses Curtis, her boo thing, but she's kind of just like a side chick to him. She witnesses him murder someone. So she goes to the police department, like reports the crime. Basically, we find out this is like a massive police investigation into this guy and they just need more evidence. But Curtis has been basically murdering all the witnesses before they can testify. So they need to put Dolores in a witness protection program. And what better place to do that than at a convent? So they have this woman join a nunnery and try and blend in there. It's totally opposite her lifestyle, so she is not happy about this at all. Neither is Mother Superior, who kind of runs this nunnery. So they have kind of this beef back and forth throughout the show. But eventually, Mother Superior assigns the task of running the church choir to Dolores. And with her background in music and soul addition to this very white choir, she is able to turn them around into this like spectacular act that gets people off the streets. People like from all over and literally off the streets just hear this and come to the shows or the services, I guess I should say, which is important because this church is failing financially. So having this attendance and renewed interest and faith and everything like that is reinvigorating and kind of gets the church back on its feet. We still have some conflict going on between Mother Superior and Dolores, but ultimately everything comes up to a head. The bad guys find Dolores in the nunnery as they're about to perform for the Pope. and chaos and madness and love and happy endings ensue after that. So I am going to give Sister Act 8 out of 10 nuns because we're talking about women ensembles today and the nun ensemble in this show is what stands out to me. So yeah, I'm giving it 8 out of 10 nuns.
I think, well, okay, so I'm really judging Sister Act the movie and like the millions of videos of Patina Miller I've seen on YouTube. but I'll give it... also 8 out of 10 nuns. I think that's an accurate reading. I really like that movie. I liked it a lot when I was little.
And I will give Mamma Mia, I'm sorry, Sammy.
Oh my God, I'm going to punch you.
6 out of 10 Super Troopers.
No!
Here's the thing. I think that Mamma Mia is good, and that's where I think it ends. I think it's like a good, fun, entertaining show. I've also, to clarify, I've only ever seen the movie.
That is enough. The movie is glorious.
Well, I guess we'll have to talk about that, won't we?
Yes, we will. Oh my gosh. Okay, now I'm gearing up. I'm gonna convince you. All right.
Okay. Well, shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Should I go first or should you go first?
Women and women first. Take it away.
Amazing. So I felt really shitty about mixing up Thomas Kail and Andy Blankenbuehler. Last week we talked about Hamilton because I like knew that it was I'm gonna credit some more people at the beginning and just do like a little bit of background on the show, like just the smallest amount of research went into this. So the musical opened on West End in 1999. This is all from Wikipedia, so if it's wrong you can blame all those contributors, and then opened on Broadway in 2000. It was written by a British playwright, Katherine Johnson, who also co-wrote the movie sequel, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, with Ol Parker and Richard Curtis, who you might know from things such as Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, Bridget Jones' Diary, Love Actually, About Time, most recently Yesterday. So like pretty prolific writer and director. And then Mamma Mia! The movie came out in 2008 when I was about 13 years old. And was also written by Katherine Johnson and directed by Phyllida Lloyd, who the only other thing I could find that she's done is The Iron Lady, also with Meryl Streep. So maybe she just really loves Meryl Streep. Who among us? And it's the longest running jukebox musical in Broadway history and the ninth longest running show in general. I believe it closed in 2015. I don't think it's still on Broadway. You might know better.
It's not.
It's not. Great. Awesome. Not awesome, because it's awesome. So I'm just going to get in a little bit to why I love Mamma Mia so much and why watching this movie last week has been like, it was one of the happiest times I've had during the last 6 months. It's just like pure unbridled joy. And to just be able to pretend for like two-ish hours that I'm in Greece with all of my friends, Christine Baranski, Meryl Streep, and Julie Walters, and I can just sing my problems away with a few ABBA songs. It's just like such the epitome of escapism, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. But I actually think it has a lot of wonderful things to say about family and love. So I just want to go into two of those right now. So I like that it, number one, it normalizes unconventional families. And so the movie and musical start in a place where Sophie, so Amanda Seyfried, just like obsessed with finding out who her dad is. Like, it, to be fair, it's kind of okay. I mean, she doesn't know her dad and she just read her mom's diary and found out that like her mom doesn't really know who her dad is. So it's like a fair, like, I guess, want to have in your life. But by the end of the movie, Sophie is perfectly happy having her three dads, not knowing which one is related to her by blood. Like, all she cares about is just knowing that her mom is happy and that her dads are happy, and they all like literally stand up at the wedding and they're like, we're happy to be one third your father. And it's really cute. Like, they don't get like all like macho and mean about it. They're just like, we'll have you, love you in whatever way we can. And there's like a line in the movie where she comes clean to Sky, who's her fiance, who it's like hinted at that he really does love her. He like wanted to kind of travel the world with her before they got married. And she was like super intent on getting married, like very young. And he was kind of like, okay, I guess we're going to do it eventually. We can just do it now. So they get into this kind of fight when he finds out that like she invited her maybe three dads without telling anyone, because he thinks that's the only reason she wanted to get married is so she can meet her dad. And she says, it's not about that. It's about knowing who I am. And then he says, that doesn't come from finding your father. That comes from finding yourself. And she takes that to heart, I think, in a really meaningful way. One, by embracing her triplet fathers. And also, at the end, she decides to not marry Sky, which like he's totally chill with. He's not mad at her. And they just go gallivanting around the world. And that's really beautiful. And her mom walks her down the aisle, which is cute. It's just a really sweet, I think it's just like very sweet the way family is kind of formed out of like her three dads and then like her mom's crazy friends who like she treats as family. So I think it's nice to kind of showcase just this, like, first of all, a single mom, like working hard, like raising her daughter on her own, has her own business, runs a hotel, and also three dads. Love it. And the other thing that I really like about this movie is that Donna, so the mother, isn't demonized for being promiscuous and possibly not knowing who her daughter's father is. So yes, Sophie gets a little upset with her mother at some points, but she's mostly upset that her mother is like very judgmental of her decision to get married, which is fair. None of Donna's friends are upset about her not knowing who Sophie's father is. Like, they're almost kind of like, yeah, I'm into this. Like, they like, they're just very supportive friends, especially Christine Baranski is like a fucking queen. She's so good in this movie. Like, does your mother know? I want that to be, when I'm allowed to go to a bargain, I want someone to turn that on as soon as I walk in and like immediately hand me a martini that I probably won't drink because I don't like martinis, but it's all in the, what it looks like, right?
It's the vibe. Yeah. It's the aesthetic you're creating. Yeah.
But Sophie, so none of Donna's friends are upset about not knowing who Sophie's father is. And also I think kind of more importantly and kind of crazily, like none of the men are upset by it. Like they're all just kind of like, oh, I get it. And by the end of the movie, like, so Meryl Streep ends up with Pierce Brosnan's character. And the other two men are just kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. You guys love each other. That's great. Great for you. It's just really, like, no one is ever really mad at anyone for anything, like, stupid or superficial. Everyone's just kind of like, yeah, we're going to go with the punches, roll with it. We love you. We support you. I just think it's a very supportive and beautiful movie, even though the premise is kind of silly. And I also think you talked about this with Shrek, how I think this musical suffers from that highbrow, lowbrow distinction.
Yes, I do too.
And I think people tend to be like, make fun of you, like musical theater people, not regular people. But musical theater people, like, some people tend to make fun of you if you say you love Mamma Mia, but I think everyone kind of secretly loves it on the low. Like, if you have had like a couple glasses of wine and you turn on Mamma Mia, you're gonna fucking sing along.
You're not gonna turn it off. Yeah.
You're not gonna turn it off. You're gonna watch it.
I really appreciate those points, and I think I want to amend my score to a 7. Because I do agree. Here's, like, okay, so I think my reasoning behind the 6 was that I agree. I think Mamma Mia is a really fun show. I think it is, like, really feel good. I also agree that it suffers from the, like, lowbrow effect. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, you're right. It is pure escapism, and, like, I love that type of theater. Also, I've seen the movie once, so, like, in prep for this, I just listen to the music, so, which it's amazing.
That's like the kind of movie I turn on when I'm having a bad day. I cried during the second one. It's so good. I like went to see it with some friends and we snuck wine at a theater and I just sat there and cried.
I am not super surprised by that one, to be honest. Okay, well, let me talk a little bit about Sister Act and see if I can convince you to watch a totally legal version of this film.
Sure.
Musical, I mean. So Sister Act also was first put up on West End, or, like, I guess not first, but, you know, between the West End Broadway.
Yeah. Shouts to the Brits.
Yeah, and so actually, even from transferring from West End to Broadway, there are a few differences that we see there. Also, the cast was almost entirely different. Patina Miller was pretty much the only thread that connected them, which is so fitting because although she has been followed by, like, iconic and incredible women who have played Dolores, such as Raven Simonier, who follows me on Twitter. And,
oh my God.
And Cynthia Erivo, who I'll be talking about a bit later. Bettina, to me, like, nails this role. I think that the only reason she didn't win the Tony for this show was because it was the same season as Sutton Foster and Anything Goes. And, like, come on. Like, that was just an equally... It was just a crazy performance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that the musical version of the movie makes Dolores a lot more likable. I found myself, so I also watched the movie recently. I watched the movie like 2 weeks ago. And for those who don't know, Whoopi Goldberg plays the lead role in the movie. Fun fact, she actually also played a role in the musical on Broadway. But it was as Mother Superior. Actually, I think it might have been West End that she did that. But yeah, she played Mother Superior, so like the like straight-edged nun. Yeah, so to talk about some of the things that I like about this show, I think that the music is incredible, and specifically the music that involves the nuns. Don't get me wrong, the evil trio, like, little side, like, henchmen have some, like, good songs. And so does Eddie, the the police chief who Dolores, like, falls in love with. But to me, the total highlights of this show come from all the songs that the nuns sing. So what basically ends up happening is Dolores trains these nuns how to sing better and, like, how to sing with a lot more soul. So what ends up happening is we get these, like, really straight-edged, like, conservative Catholic nuns that are doing these songs that are, like, some of them are the same songs that Dolores was doing, but the the main person that the song is about is now God instead of like a significant other or something, which is so funny to me. Also, I went to Catholic school my whole life, so I think that this show has a really special place in my heart and reminds me of a lot of that experience, for better or for worse. So one thing that I wanted to do is I watched this the other day, and there are some like hilarious like one-liners that just are in the show that I jotted down that I want to, or also like random things about this show. One of the first ones that demonstrates how conservative and straight edge these nuns are was basically they like zoom into a scene where the nuns are talking, and I think it's maybe over dinner, and one of the older nuns says, "And that's why we said Job had it easy." That's some Catholic humor for you, because
who's
you
Job?
Didn't know, Job did not have it easy.
Okay.
That's all you need to know. He was from the Bible, and he did not have it easy.
Right.
Random fact, this is probably one of the top five shows that I work out to.
I have those, yeah.
This is such a workout show for me. All of the nun songs are really fast-paced and high energy and soulful, and I love it. Another funny quote, Dolores talking about her playing or doing theater growing up, she said, "It was an all-black version of Funny Girl. I called it Girl." They have some, like, funny thank you places jokes in there. All of the sisters are, like, named Sister Mary, like, something, which is a very Catholic thing. So Catholic, actually, that when I was younger, our, like, alert that would be called out over the speakers if there was an intruder in the building, like the code for it that we would have drills for, was "Sister Mary Margaret, please come to the office."
Oh my God.
I was literally like, if we ever heard that, that was like, there's an intruder. sorry if I outed your secret, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
Okay, if they're still using that, like, what, I don't even know how many years later, then that's on them.
Oh my God.
Okay, so to talk more about the show, the music, like I said, really like pops the fuck off. All of the songs where the nuns are performing in the church scene, so or like in the church for the public. So Raise Your Voice, Take Me to Heaven, Sunday Morning Fever, and Spread the Love Around, all four of those are like massive bops. and to me, like, really demonstrate why this show to me is such a strong ensemble of women. I think it's I personally find it really rare for theater to have a lot of songs that are just women singing. I think it's way more common. We see so many, like, Grease and How to Succeed in Business and, you know, all, like, so many, like, gendered stories where it's broken up into men and women, and we have, like, the girl side and the boy side. And that's not what this show does at all. Like, this is all about these nuns, and it's all about them just, like, getting their groove on, and, like, all of them, like, a lot of them overcome their own personal struggles to singing well. So, yeah, some of those messages I really like. Some of the acting is, I think, incredible. Namely, Patina Miller and Marla Mandel. Those are two of my, like, favorite actresses, especially, Sammy, you kind of know this. Marla Mandel, I am, like, an extreme stan of. Like, I'm probably in the top 0.1% of Marla Mandel fans in the world. and she plays Sister Mary Robert, who's, like, the really shy, not quite nun, but I think she was, like, a born into their, like, adopted by this nunnery and is not yet a nun, but is still figuring out her path. And she, like, just squelts her face off at many different points in this show, which, you know, I love some good squelting.
We love a good squelt.
She has, like, what I think are some of the two best songs in the show, which are The Life I Never Led, the original and the reprise, which, if anyone listening, if you don't know those songs, watch her doing it live and you will be blown away. And yeah, I think that this show is just all about sisterhood. And, like, even the end, it's not about Eddie, the police chief, like, saving her at the last minute, like you might think. And also, like, it kind of happens in the movie. What actually happens is basically Dolores is about to get straight up shot by this, like, mobster, whoever, Curtis. And all of the other sisters, like one by one, start to like sacrifice themselves for her. And it's during the song Sister Act, and it's like, take all my heart, my soul, my joy, my love. And like, it's so beautiful. And all of them are coming forth for this woman who they just found out is not actually a nun. And still they like have built this bond together and are sticking out for each other like that. Ultimately, Eddie does come and shoot him, but that's not what saves. That's not the point. And that also is not played up nearly as much as, yeah, as the alternative. So the last thing I'll say, and I'll pass it back to you, is the outfit choices are incredible. Like, for example, at the end, they're performing for the Pope, and they have these, like, drag queen-esque, like, silver bedazzled nun robes that are like amazing, and they're doing choreo in them, but it's very like nun choreo, like very modest, very like, it's like they're like good at not being good.
Yeah, which is hard. It's really hard. Good if you're good, it's really
especially
hard.
In sync, because all of them are like doing that together.
Yeah, I would know. You're good. It's hard to act like you're not. Yeah, it's so.
Yeah, so, oh, and one, actually, I said that was the last thing. One other thing I wanted to say is there are two differences, big ones, song replacements from West End to Broadway, and I think that they got one of them right and one of them wrong, and I just need to say that out loud. The first is the song How I Got the Calling. It was this song when Dolores first goes to this nunnery, and they all kind of sing about how they were called to become nuns and come to the Lord. It's such a good song. They took it out and replaced it with a song called It's Good to Be a Nun. Not a good replacement, in my opinion. How I Got the Calling, way better. The other one, though, they replaced what in the West End show was a reprise of Mother Superior's song, Here Within These Walls, that she sings at the beginning. She has this new song called Haven't Got a Prayer. It is, like, multitudes better than the reprise. And it also, I think, adds this whole other dimension to the character of Mother Superior that, like, no longer is she just this like rule following for no reason, like Catholic know-it-all. Like it gives her a lot of dimension, and talks a lot about like the things that are so important to her. So yeah, those are two switches. Ultimately, I feel like it kind of evened out, because I think the levels are different, but I do really miss, I really missed seeing How I Got the Calling when I watched the legal version of the show that I saw.
Yes, of course. Highly legal. I do think that these shows, and like Sister Act obviously is like very overt, as in that they are like literal nun sisters. Yes. So yes, there are some sisterhood present in that movie.
There is a sisterhood.
of nuns. Okay. But I think that is also like why I love Mamma Mia so much, because it really barely pays attention to the really only three men, I guess four, if you count Sky, but he's really only there for like one song. But if you look at like going down the list of like the songs in Mamma Mia, there are maybe like four or five that even like have a man speak. And one of them I need to talk about because it is Lay All Your Love on Me, and it is Sky. And as I said, I was 13 years old when this movie came out. And I don't know if you remember what that scene is like, but it is quite, to a 13-year-old's brain, it is very sexy.
I would love to hear what 25-year-old Sammy thought watching it this time around.
She thinks it is maybe like not as shocking, but like still very much like, I can't believe they're doing this on the beach. I was maybe like a little more embarrassed because I was like, they're like younger than me, supposedly they're doing this on the beach. But they like literally, Amanda Seyfried and Sky, his name is I should know his name, it's like Dominic something, I'm very sorry, I'm gonna look it up while you're talking later and then remember it. But they like sing Lay All Your Love on Me, which is one of my favorite songs, and they like do this like strip act on the beach. Like she's up against the rock wall, like throwing her hands back against it, and then they start like crawling towards each other.
Ooh.
And then they literally start making out in the sand. And then all of a sudden his like boys, because he's going to his bachelor party, his boys come and pick him up, but his boys are wearing like teeny tiny board shorts, and like there's like 20 of them like doing high knees with flippers on in unison. And it's really just a lot for a 13-year-old to take in.
That's understandable.
Yes, and I loved it so much. But I do want to talk a little bit more about like two other women specifically. Well, three women. I want to talk about Julie Walters too, mostly because she is also Molly Weasley in the Harry Potter franchise. I'm honestly like, get you someone who can do both. She's incredible. When she sings Take a Chance on Me at the end, she's like, I think it's Bill. She's like trying to get. So she's like trying to seduce like one of the three men that like Donna's left to the wayside, and it is she's just so like sexy. And I'm like, Molly Weasley, damn, like all right, like they had seven kids. I mean, I guess, but I want to talk a little bit about Christine Baranski. Just these three women, like in general, Christine Baranski is like very important to me. There's a moment in this movie where she says, "Down, big fella." I just want that like playing on a loop in my head. The song she has by herself, where she's like kind of seducing a younger man and just like playing around with all the boys. It's called "Does Your Mother Know?" And it's just like just the most like Christine Baranski thing that's ever happened in my life. And I want her to get to do that all the time. And then I want to talk about what is possibly the best cinematic moment in the history of all cinema. And that is
All cinema. Wow.
all cinema, move over, Citizen Kane. And that is Meryl Streep singing The Winner Takes It All to Pierce Brosnan on a cliff in Greece at sunset. And it's actually just like literally like very beautiful. Like she's on a cliff in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
The sun's going down, it's like the golden hour, it's just like beautifully lit, and she's just standing there singing the song. And I'm like, Meryl Streep, like constantly reminded that Meryl Streep, even though she is in a very silly role in a very silly movie, is just like a phenomenal actress who can just do whatever the hell she wants. And then at the end, Pierce Brosnan just screams, "Donna!" And I'm also reminded that Pierce Brosnan can kind of also do whatever he wants. And he's an awful singer. I'm so sorry. He's not good, but it almost like doesn't matter because he looks like Pierce Brosnan. So whatever. But it's just like such a
Because he
beautiful
looks
moment.
like Pierce Brosnan.
He is Pierce Brosnan. Have you seen what Pierce Brosnan looks
No, I've seen what he looks
like?
like. I agree.
Like, just a very good looking man. It doesn't matter if he can't sing. No one's listening to him. Oh man. But I wanted to point them all. I also wanted to point out that Amanda Seyfried is also like very good, I think, vocally in this movie. And it just like reminds me how bad the way this movie is and how like even people who I know are objectively good just sound bad in that movie.
Yeah.
Was it just like the orchestration? Like
I
it's
don't,
so
I,
quiet and
there are just a
weird.
lot of things about that movie that just don't hit the spot for me.
It's like, don't need to go into that. Just talk about Mamma Mia.
I was gonna say we'll get into that in another episode, but I don't think we will.
No.
I don't think at least this season, Les Mis is on
No.
our docket.
This is not on my radar at the moment. Sorry about it. But yeah, I think that's mostly what I wanted to talk about. I just think like the performances are really great. It's a pretty like fun and entertaining, pretty. It's like really fun and entertaining, and it takes
Yeah.
place in the Mediterranean. Like I just wanted to hop on a plane and go to Greece, and I can't do that because it's expensive and we're all gonna die. So that's where I'm at.
I while you were talking, I looked at Sister Act, and there are also only three songs in the whole show that the men of the cast sing. And fun fact, second time this has happened on this podcast, one of the songs from the show I did sing in an original cast audition
What was it?
successfully this time.
Oh.
It was I Could Be That Guy, the song that Eddie sings when he's talking about his past. Him and Dolores went to high school together, and his nickname was Sweaty Eddie, and he's like trying to overcome that sweaty past.
What a horrible thing to call someone.
As someone with pretty severe hyperhidrosis, that shit can stick with you.
Say, I'm pretty unintended. Sweaty right now. Good job. I also want to say the guy who plays his name, Dominic Cooper. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, especially considering you are a part of that song, which is very important to me when I was 13 years old. So. Shouts to Dominic Cooper.
I think I actually talked about most of my points with Sister Act, and I have two things left. One, I need to do the bop list, which I'll get to in a sec. Okay. But there's one conversation that happens that I actually think is one thing I love about, like, really, really, like, the shows that we're talking about, shows that are meant to be really escapist, and usually they're just really fun. I love when shows like that, like, step out of that role for a brief second and just, like, get really serious. And there's this conversation at the end between Dolores and Mother Superior, who have just been, like, in conflict this whole show. And Dolores is talking about if she'll ever come back and visit the nuns after their last performance for the Pope, and now that she doesn't need to be witness protected. And so Dolores is saying, sometimes when I'm singing with these girls, I just decide to take it up a half step. And all of them, every single one of them, just take it up without anyone saying a word. And Mother Superior goes, perhaps one day you will know that is God. And Dolores goes, perhaps one day you'll know that's just being human. And Superior goes, perhaps one day we will realize it is both and they are the same thing. And that part really gets me every time. And actually, in the legal version of this that I watched on YouTube, you can literally hear the guy that's filming crying. it's muffled, like tears during that. And then right after that, they perform for the Pope, and, like, the music director, like, is risen on the stage and, like, is wearing his white papal gown and this papal little hat thing. Also,
incredible.
I can't believe we got this far. Yeah, it's a really cute part of the show. Yeah. Also, I can't believe we got this far and I didn't reveal, like, something pretty integral, not to this show, but about myself. I'm a Leo Moon. I'm allowed to talk about myself. When I was in high school, our high school choir got to go perform for the Pope for the 400th anniversary of the original Palestrina choir in Rome.
What the fuck?
And we prepared for, like, a long ass time to sing for the Pope. And, like, 2 weeks before we went to Rome, the Pope resigned. Which, any Christians out there or any Catholics out there that know, that doesn't happen. That's happened. This was, like, I think the second time in the history of the Pope that that's happened. Usually it's like you serve that role until you die and then someone else is elected. So we sang for a Popeless Vatican, but the good news is we were there when the white smoke came out and the new Pope was elected or whatever.
Your high school took you to Rome. My high school took us to Six Flags.
Okay, for what it's worth, it's not the high school that took us.
That's fair.
But yes, that is also, you know, that's fair. Okay, I'm going to go through Sister Act's bop list. And I also am going to have an asterisk on this bop list. Not asterisk. I'm just going to add, like, a star to some songs. And when I add a star, that means not only is it a bop, it's a workout bop.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah. Take Me to Heaven. Fabulous. Oh. Okay. Take Me to Heaven. Star. Fabulous Baby. How I Got the Calling. I Could Be That Guy. The song I sang for the audition. Raise Your Voice. Star, 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 star. Take Me to Heaven, Reprise, star. Sunday Morning Fever, star. Lady in the Long Black Dress, Bless Our Show. The Life I Never Led, star. Fabulous Baby, Reprise, star. Sister Act, Life I Never Led, Reprise, star. Sister Act, Reprise, star. And Spread the Love Around, triple star.
Triple
That's my
star.
Bop list for Sister Act.
What does triple star mean? You're just, like,
it
running
It means
really
that
fast.
It's probably the most common. Yeah, it's like when it comes on, you, like, up the speed on the treadmill or, like, whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, quickly, I'm going to go through this Mamma Mia bop list. Movie soundtrack edition. So, I mean, we start right off with Honey, Honey, and it's just great. Honey, Honey, and then Money, Money, Money. Then Mamma Mia, Dancing Queen, Lay All Your Love on Me, again, just chef's kiss. Super Trooper, Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight, which I performed in an original cast show, and I had two tight pants on that barely covered my butt crack, and I had to, like, shake my butt and bend over on stage, and I couldn't do it correctly because my pants were too tight.
And it is on YouTube.
It is on YouTube. You can watch it. It's really embarrassing. I think you can see me, like, try to discreetly pull my pants up, like, multiple times. Anyway, the name of the game, Voulez-vous, Does Your Mother Know? Slipping Through My Fingers, Sad Bop. Take a Chance on Me, and then I Have a Dream, I think, is really beautiful. Slow Bop. There we go.
Slow Bop. Slow Bops are real.
Slow Bops are real. All right. I think that's all I've got.
Well, shall we make these shows better?
I think we should. I'll go first. And I just wanted to ask you, did you know there is another ABBA musical? And it is a children's musical in French that is based on fairy tales. And it's an ABBA jukebox musical. And it's called ABBA Kadabra.
Now I do.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically like Into the Woods Junior in French with ABBA songs.
Wow. Well, stay tuned for season two then. Maybe we'll have to.
We'll do ABBA Kadabra coming at you soon. So it got me thinking that you could probably make any musical into an ABBA jukebox musical. So I just wanted to like take a few musicals that are probably like very opposite of ABBA song musicals and try to just like recreate them using only ABBA songs. So I did West Side Story, Wicked, and Phantom of the Opera. Mm-hmm. I think I like to start with Phantom of the Opera. So we start with Think of Me, just think of me, you know, just like yes. Very like reminiscent of a love. And so you could also just make that Our Last Summer, which is also reminiscing about young love.
Okay.
And then you have Angel of Music. You could just make that I Have a Dream, because she sings about having a song to sing and also believing in angels. Done. The Family Opera, you can just make that Lay All Your Love on Me. It's a duet. He's talking about...
It's a duet?
Done. He talks about how he was jealous before they met. Now every man that I see is a potential threat. I mean, come on. Music of the Night comes next. You could just substitute thank you for the music right in. Thanks, Christine, for the music that you give me, that you sing. There we go. Then you move on to Carlotta. Shouts to Minnie Driver. Singing Prima Donna. That can just be Dancing Queen. That works.
Yeah.
I think that works.
I'm on board.
Then we move on to Raoul and Christine's iconic duet, All I Ask of You. That could just be Raoul singing Take a Chance on Me. Masquerade. We can just make that Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. That's a party song. That's all really Masquerade is. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Put some masks on some girls while they sing Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. It works. Then you have Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again. And I think if you just change some of the words to Slipping Through My Fingers and made it about like a dad instead of a daughter, could work. I don't know. Could work.
I can see that.
Then we have The Point of No Return. And I just think having the Phantom standing there singing Winner Takes It All would really seal the deal. Yeah. And I did the same thing with Wicked. I won't like go through all of these again because I don't want to take up too much more time. But for Dancing Through Life, I just thought we could do, like, Voulez-vous. It's just about, like, having fun and, like, kissing on some girls and, like, having fun kissing on some boys. I'm Not That Girl. Winner Takes It All, once again, could work. Wonderful. Thank You for the Music. He, like, talks about how, you know, like, he's not that special, but, like, now I'm wonderful. Get it? For Good, you could, you know, sub in When All Is Said and Done in there. I think that really works. And then for West Side Story, I did a few.
I'm sorry. Can I stop you? Did you just go through Wicked and have a song for I'm Not That Girl and for Wonderful, but not for like Defying Gravity.
I have Defying Gravity, but I didn't say it because I don't think it's that good. It's Super Trooper.
Super Trooper.
I'm trying to move through the rest of these quickly, so I'm only doing the ones that I think actually work. But
I just had to ask if those were the songs that stuck out from Wicked to you.
Please note, I'll put the entire track list in the show notes. You can read them there. But for West Side Story, I thought for Maria, he could sing like the name of the game. That would work. America, you could put Money, Money, Money in there and kind of
that'd
just
be
like,
good.
Yeah, change up like the meaning just a little bit. Tonight, Lay All Your Love on Me once again. I Feel Pretty is obviously Dancing Queen. And then A Boy Like That / I Have a Love could be Chiquita. I Have a Dream. And that's, I'll stop there. I'll put the rest of them in the show notes. You guys can check it out on your own. But that's my theory, is that every musical, if it tries hard enough, can be an ABBA jukebox musical.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I have to say is yeah.
You're correct.
I agree. Okay. So for my recreate section, we're going to start with a bit of context. Sammy, are you familiar with icon Natalie Weiss?
Yes, I am.
Are you familiar with her YouTube series, Breaking Down the Riff?
Yes, I am.
Also iconic. Mm-hmm. So I had two ideas for what I wanted to do for my recreate. The first was there are so many really great riffs in the show, and I am such a riff ho. Like, I'm not, again, no highbrow here. Like, if you want to saying that Defying Gravity and smack on a riff, like, go for it. I will not judge you. Mm-hmm. Well, the second thing is I also was like, but another, like, singing Catholic choir music was just such a part of my life until I left high school. Mm-hmm. And there are so many that to this day are, like, imprinted in my mind that, like, I was like, what if we put some of those in the show and made them, like, more upbeat or whatever? So what I decided to do was we'll break down some of my favorite riffs from Sister Act, and then we'll turn those riffs, those exact same riffs, once we've broken them down, into what they would be in some of my favorite and most memorable choir, Catholic choir songs that we would sing. Okay, we're going to preface this by, look, I'm not out here, I'm not on this podcast to become, to get found. I'm going to recreate this riff, but it ain't going to be pretty. That's okay. Okay, so the first one is from the reprise of Fabulous Baby, and Patina Miller sings, she goes like, Paris, Manhattan, and Hollywood. Like, just like down the waterfall of the notes mm-hmm. there. So the riff is, Hollywood. God, I can't break that down. It's a bunch of notes down there.
And introducing Natalie Wise.
Yes.
She's here.
So this is where once we make enough money that we can pay her to guest star, she'll just do this part for us.
We'll call her just for this.
In the meantime, the Catholic song that I am I'm doing that one too is a really classic one called One Bread, One Body. The song is very, like, it's like, one bread, one body. It's, like, very not this show, but we're going to make it. So, as a reminder, Paris, Manhattan, and Hollywood. One bread, one body, one Lord of all.
Beautiful.
Riffing it up. Sorry, Miss Leos, my choir teacher in high school. Next one is, this riff is actually specific to Cynthia Erivo's version of Dolores when she did it on the like UK first tour of the show. Also, the lyric I think is really funny. It's grab a partner and head on out to the parquet. So in this one, Cynthia Erivo takes this up the octave and then riffs it. So she goes, grab a partner and head on out to the parquet. So for this song, we're going to do Eagle's Wings, probably my number one banger from Mass as a child. I always look forward to when hymn 613, I believe is what it is, on Eagle's Wings would come on. or would be sung in that mass. So the way it would go is, the way it regularly goes is, and he will raise you up, and he will raise you up, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings. But this time we're going to go, and he...
Woo!
Okay, I'm going to have to listen again.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings.
Praise Jesus.
Thank you. Sorry, you're going to say us. The last one we're doing is another really funny lyric, which is from Raise Your Voice. Don't you hide it. Why not write it like it's God's Rolls Royce? and it goes, don't you hide it. Why not write it like it's God's Rolls Royce? Ooh. So it's like an upriff, which I love. And we're going to do Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. That one, I feel like, yeah, everyone knows. Like, you don't have to be a recovering Catholic to know this song. So again, it's, don't you hide it, why not write it like it's God's Rolls Royce? So we're going to go, make me a channel of your peace. So those are my recreates, and I expect Alan Menken to add these into the canon of Sister Act the musical.
I'll be waiting for your call.
I will too.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that was really great. I like that, taking me back to church days.
TBT.
TBT. All right, should we talk about what next week is going to be?
I think that we should give a little teaser to the fans.
All right. So do you want to say it or should I? I just highlighted it on the doc so we don't...
Yeah, I just got it. Okay. So next week, our category is non-Broadway shows. So these are shows that, for whatever reason, never made it to Broadway.
Yeah, stupid reasons, but reasons.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And we'll leave you at that. And it's been great talking about the strongest women ensembles, which is kind of my favorite thing to do.
Mine too. I love talking about women. Women are the best.
Women and women first.
All right. I'm sorry. Just thought of Titanic when they go, women and children. We didn't cut that out. It just popped into my head. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening to us ramble and talk about musicals and women. We love you.
We love you. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.